Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chief, you know, there's two things in this world I hate to miss. One's a Lakers game, and the other's Rich Rossi Live. You gotta be cuckoo to miss this show, you know what I mean, pal? And wait till you get a load of what Rich is gonna talk about today.
Well, today we're honored to have an actress with a real following that doesn't quit, Donna Lee Hising, today. And thank you, Jack, for that introduction. Jack Nicholson mentioned there that he loves the show as much as a Lakers game. And Jack used to sit in the front row with Diane Cannon. And Diane Cannon yesterday told our friend Sherry Pettigo, I was speaking at Eternal Grace, a ministry we have for actors and artists yesterday. We had quite a big turnout for that gathering. And Sherry Pettigo was on the way to our gathering, a singer friend of mine. And Diane, who's close with Sherry, let her know the news about Kobe Bryant's passing, sad passing, as well as nine others in the helicopter. So we're sending out lots of prayers for all of those families, for Kobe's wife and Kobe's, I believe, three daughters, surviving daughters. So, so sad. I'm glad you're on the show. Jack Nicholson was in the horror film The Shining, and Donna Lee, who's our guest today, is not only one of the stars of our new film Canaan Land that's coming out this year, but she's also the star of many horror films and has a resume and an IMD of so many films that she has done. And we're honored to have her, and we will be back with Donna Lee, one of my lovely co-stars from Canaanland. We'll be back with her in about 20 seconds. So don't go anywhere. And this link is good, so share it with your friends. Tell them to tune in to Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome, Donna Lee.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome. You're so wonderful in our Canaanland film. I can't believe how good you are. You're one of the first characters that people meet in the first act, the first 20 minutes of the film, and you are just perfect.
Well, thank you. If I am, it's because of you, since you're the director and the writer. But it was really
Well, I forgive you, too, because, spoiler alert, my character, Brother Billy, is living with Donna Lee, and she kicks me out. I mean, she just tells me, hit the road, Jack, and we got this great scene where she points to the camera, and Don, one of our talented DPs, Rack Focus, which is you blur out the background and focus on one thing, and he has this great shot that is crystal clear on Donna Lee's finger pointing out, and she just says, out, and then everything else racks out, blurs out, except her finger pointing out, and I'm down on my knees begging her not to kick me out because I don't want to be down and out and homeless in Beverly Hills. But you are so good in those scenes, Donna Lee.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, do you blame me for kicking you out? I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but I can't believe I let you in the first place.
But God forgives. Why can't you forgive me, Donna Lee?
Well, we were just talking about, you know, there, you just have so much charisma. You could talk yourself into anything. That,
well,
you know, I am.
You're a smart cookie.
Really,
you're a
sad.
Tough cookie, man. You know that if I'm really sorry, I'm going to change my ways. And you know my my repentance and my wanting to stay is you can see right through it, can't you, Donna Lee?
Right through it. Well, I'm not going to give anything away, but how could I not? With what you're doing in the other room.
Oh, yes, yes. I have
a Santa
hat, and I have a Santa hat and a Santa shirt and not much else, and I'm in bed with an elf played by Colleen Shelley.
Okay, well, I wasn't
going
to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then elf crawls through the window.
Oh, yeah, that is so funny. It's interesting because our Canaanland film starts out kind of funny and campy, and then, you know, as it gets into it, it gets more serious in the tone when, you know, Rebecca Holden confronts Billy about really repenting But you're, mm-hmm. and then at the end, I have a question already came in. We have an email for those of you that want to send in questions. Send it to richardrossilive@gmail.com or call in the number, which is 347-637-2379. We have a question come in. We previewed at SAG and some other places some rough cuts, and there's a scene at the very end of the film where you're at the beach in a beautiful white gown, which is representing the purity, the forgiveness of God for everybody. You know, there's a scripture about wash me and I shall be purer than the snow, whiter than the snow. But Marsha, writing in from Montana, wanted to know about your gown. She saw a glimpse of that and thought it was, you looked very lovely. And I think you might be holding my sister's dog, Snowball. But do you remember what gown? She was curious what that gown was you wore. Do you remember?
Yes, actually, it's a really special gown. It's a Sue Wong. Sue Wong. She's a famous fashion designer.
And I believe that's spelled is that spelled W-O-N-G, right?
Yes, S-U-E-W-O-N-G. And I did some shows with Sue Wong a couple of years ago with my friend Vita Ghaffari. And because I'm not really
into
fashion. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, she's got a fashion blog. And so through her, I got to know Sue. And Sue was having Sue actually let me borrow some of her dresses for a fashion shoot. And then I found out that she was having like a half price sale on her dresses, because otherwise I could never afford it. But so I bought that dress, and it's got feathers on the bottom. It's really a great dress.
Yes, it's worth the price of admission to Canaanland in 2020, folks, to see Donna Lee in this Sue Wong dress at the end.
Well, actually, it's the same dress that I wore when I interviewed you.
Oh, yes. By the way, you are such a good interviewer. We've had literally tens of thousands of people watch that and tell us how much they love that interview. I think you could go on YouTube and just probably search Donna Lee Heising, Richard Rossi. You got me to open up, Donna Lee. It was amazing because I just trust you because you have such a sweet and nice spirit. And I was so vulnerable. I mean, I just felt like it was a cleansing or catharsis. I confessed more to you than to a priest, I think, Donnelly.
Well, I learned a lot during the interview. It was really, really interesting. And I have a YouTube channel. I think it's under my name. It's Donnelly Heising. But I have a show called Ion Entertainment. And I'm really focusing on acting now, so I only do interviews to promote the films that I'm in. But I really wanted to help with the promotion of Canaanland because it's my first faith-based film. And I'm just so grateful to you, Richard, for putting me in it. And
you're so perfect,
script.
And you're such a good and godly woman and mother. And am I allowed to say grandmother, or should we not tell that? Because people might not believe it because you win all these bikini contests.
Nick, well, I still am actually modeling swimsuits, but IMDb has me as older than I am. I mean, I tell everyone I'm old anyway, you know, so I didn't need the extra help. But
I am
a grandmother.
You
and
look
I
great.
You
look great.
Oh, thank you.
And people have followed you with, you know, you've won different. I know you've won different titles, and you're a humble person. You don't want to brag. And forgive me, I get some of the beauty pageant type titles. Sometimes I mix them up and misspeak. So, what are some of the ones? I know you won some. Which ones were some of the ones you did?
Well, I was Miss Los Angeles Chinatown a while back. And that's what I'm really proud of. And they sent me to Taiwan and Hong Kong for that. And I'm half Chinese, so I learned a lot about my heritage through that one. I was Miss Orange County Universe, Miss San Francisco Universe, and that's where I got discovered. And I played Miss Hawaii on Fantasy Island. I was Miss California Hemisphere. And
wow.
Then I was Miss Mrs. California United States 2000, Miss World 2008, Miss Universe 2009. I was Miss Golden Global. These are just, you know, I'm a very obsessive person. So when I was doing contests, I would do them all the time. And so I've been in over 100 contests in my lifetime, I think. And, you know, when you do that, you get really good at them. So I've either won or placed in all of them. And I made that a career for a long time. But I think it prepared me for the film world.
Yes, yes. This is, I don't know if you've ever, this might be a crazy question, but I'm just curious because, you know, our ministry, Eternal Grace, we've had many entertainers and, you know, models, pinup, famous pinup actresses and, you know, people that have had posters. I mean, you know, even back in the Knight Rider days, there were, you know, posters of Rebecca Holden in bikinis and things like that. So many of you women are looked at for your physical beauty. And I'm just curious, like, how, because you're such a nice person and the opposite of how some people might think, because you do that, you're such an ethical, you know, moral, really nice person. Have you ever had to deal with, like, creepy guy fans or having to set boundaries or... I know that's an awkward question, or feeling like you were objectified, or and you know, I mean, have you ever had creepy fans or people you had to be careful about, you know, or have people, you know, watching out for you, did you ever have to deal with that?
Well, you know, I have to say, when I first came to Hollywood, I was really young, and I was like 18, you know, when I first started. Well, you know, right after playing Miss Hawaii, so, and then I played Cleo the Snake Dancer in Magnum P.I., and I had a really
good agent. That.
Well, it was, you know, it was really, when you're young, when you're really, really young, it's so easy, you know, to get cast in everything, just on the basis of your looks. But in those days, you expect everyone, if you're religious at all, and I was raised Catholic, you know, I went to a Catholic school, so you just expect everyone to be nice, you know, and not try to do anything to you. And I do remember certain auditions that I would go on, and this was many, many years ago, way before the Me Too movement. And so I would turn up at the auditions, and people that I never expected would try to get me to do things. And, you know, when you're young like that and you're nice, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You tend to think that it's your own fault. And I think the good thing about the movement now, I think probably it's gone a little too far, but the good thing is that it gives young girls' voice. I mean, they can realize that it's not their fault that these things are happening.
Because yeah.
Hollywood's
yeah.
like that. you know as well as I do, even though you're a pastor. I think probably it's not quite as much like that because people will get in trouble for it. But in the past, I think a lot of things are kind of swept under the carpet.
Yes, yes, definitely. Some of the people in the news, I knew about things going on with them. Some of the recent guys in the news, Kevin Spacey is one that I knew about years ago, and wondered why no one ever blew the whistle on it, you know.
Well, he was such a great actor. I had no idea, you know, and I loved that show, the one about the White House that he was in.
Oh, yes,
you
know, it was House of Cards, yeah. Yeah, and Harvey Weinstein's
yeah.
on trial as we speak. And, one thing I try to remember is a spiritual principle that hurt people hurt people. And people that do these things, I think they've been hurt in some way. Usually they've been abused themselves in some way. And it's not that I condone their sin or give them a pass, but it gives me a bit of compassion to maybe try to listen and find out why they, you know, why they were hurt, what makes them be, you know, predators like that, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe I tend to do that more. I mean, it's like I don't let anything happen to me. I could have if I were really gullible or, you know, if I, I'm pretty strong, you know, I take karate.
Yeah,
so
you kick ass.
But I think maybe I was a lot nicer to people than other people would have been.
Yes.
Just because, you know, you do feel sorry for some of them. One thing that I have run into just recently, though, you know, and it's not something I really talk about. I've been married to my wonderful husband for years. And like you said, I've got two daughters. I have one that is a psychiatrist, and I have another one that is like a top salesperson at a pharmaceutical company. My daughter is, I'm so proud of them. And I have grandchildren, so I spend half my time acting, and then I spend half my time babysitting. So I can, you know, it's like there's the glitz and the glamour of Hollywood, but it's not really that glamorous because it's hard work. I mean, if you really are going to get anywhere, you have to work at acting, and you have to be able to act. But, you know, when I go, I don't always play glam parts now. I used to, you know, but now I just really want to act. But it is really hard work. So when I'm babysitting, you know, it's like I'm just there, and I'm with the kids, and there's no makeup, and it doesn't matter what you look like. And I think I'm just very lucky to have that kind of life. And I think a lot of people can, you know, I think that we're lucky to be able to have that type of normal life and to not always have to be on. Because I know that you're a great family man. I mean, you're always putting, you know, you're always talking about your daughter and your son. And I think that is something that we're very, very blessed to have. Because
yeah, we sure are, Donnelly. I was in an audition not long ago, and there was an actress in the room to read for something else. And I made the I probably shouldn't have said anything, but, oh, she was like reading for the mother part, and I was reading for the father part, and you know, I was talking about my kids, and
uh-huh.
I asked her if she had any children. She said, oh, no, as an actress, I can't have that. It would really get in the way of my career. I mean, it might not have been that blunt, but that was basically what she said. And I did tell her that having a family adds such richness to your life and gives you so much to draw on, and that it's unhealthy to just make the career, the career, the career, the idol, where you can't have any other life or family or anything like that. And I was slightly offended.
Well,
I opened my big mouth.
I mean, it was for her own good, I think. But can you imagine if you give your whole life to this career and you don't get the part? Or you don't get the parts that you want. I mean, it's so much more stressful that way. And then as you get older and there are fewer parts available, I mean, it's just, to me, that's very sad. And that's one thing that I noticed about Kobe Bryant's life, which makes it's just so heartbreaking. I'm not a basketball fan, and I don't know if during the I'm not a Lakers fan. I like the Lakers because I live in L.A. and I love LeBron, you know, but he was really tough on the basketball court. He was a killer, you know, and he didn't want to be liked, and he wasn't nice. But it seems like after he retired, he started writing children's books, and he was grooming his daughter to be a basketball star. And I hear these stories about how he would go visit hospitals and disappear with the kids because he wanted to get to know them. And it seems like he really softened up after his career. And to me, that's it's just so sad. I mean, he had so many huge things ahead of him, it seems like, with grooming the younger generation and teaching them to be better people.
Yes, you know, it's very, very sad. It reminds me when my childhood hero, Roberto Clemente, died, and a great athlete, but also a great person. And we have some questions coming in, so I'm just going to check the email, and we'll be back with you in about 10 seconds, Donnelly. And you all can send your questions to richardrosbylive@gmail.com and call into the number on your screen. I'll be right back with you, okay, Donnelly?
Okay.
We'll be right back at Richard Rossi Live.
You search, you probe, your mind, your spirit becomes weary. You find yourself on a journey to find a talk show, not just an ordinary talk show, but a Christian talk show, unlike anything the mind could fathom. Suddenly, your search comes to an end, for up ahead, there's a signpost, your next stop, the Rich Rossi Live Zone.
Welcome back to the Richard Rossi Live Zone with film actress, host of Ion Entertainment, one of the stars of our upcoming film coming out this year, Canaanland, Donna Lee Heising. That was a Twilight Zone spoof, obviously, and you've been in a lot of kind of that kind of science fiction and horror movies. I saw you in a Ted Michaels film about text messages from beyond or from the dead. What are some of the horror movies or the sci-fi or any of the things, other films you're doing that are either coming out or ones you've done that are some of the ones you like the best?
Well, that is one thing I wanted to address, because the films that I've done lately aren't horror. I have always loved science fiction. I think one of my favorite scenes now is from Dustin Ferguson's Nemesis 5. I played a cyborg in it, and Mel Novak plays my brother in it. It was my first fight scene.
Oh, yes.
This is from
Mel is a dear friend of mine. He's a dear, dear friend of mine. He's gone through some physical challenge lately. But he also played for the Pittsburgh Pirates and roomed with Roberto Clemente. And he loved my Clemente film and just wept like a baby when he watched it because he knew and loved him. And he's preaches in the prisons. He's an amazing guy. And you two are just great in Nemesis 5, Donnelly.
Oh, thank you. Well, that still is one of my favorite scenes. The script was just fantastic by Mike Reeb, and that's science fiction. And since then, I've been involved. Well, then you cast me in your film, which is faith-based. I was really excited about that. I was in Ted Michaels' film, Paranormal Extremes, Text Messages from the Dead, and I played a reporter in that. I'm trying to really do quality work. I've worked so hard. I was with a theater company for a long time, and now I'm studying at South Coast Rep, and I did a Lady Macbeth monologue for Brian Barsuglius. Well, I'm really proud of that because I never thought I would be doing Shakespeare, but his documentary was in the Culver City Film Festival, and it's going to be in the Golden State Film Festival on, I believe it's being shown on February 22nd at the TLC Chinese Theater. So I'm really proud of that. And we also made a short film of it called Dark Classics. So I'm studying with Carol Foreman, who's a Shakespeare expert, and I'm studying with Matthew Arkin at South Coast Rep. And I don't think you can be in this business and be successful unless you take acting seriously, because it is, I mean, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, there's so many different things that you have to think of, and I mean, besides remembering the script, you know, I mean, depending on what you do, there's sense memory, you know, and being in the moment and really feeling. And it's taken me years to get to the place that I am now, and I still have a long way to go. But luckily, John Rain in Pennsylvania, he's with Polestar Studios, he cast me in his first film called Finding Purpose. And it's a heartwarming war drama. It's got some comedy in it. And that was done for a lower budget 2 years ago. And then I just got back. Well, I didn't just get back. I spent a month in Pennsylvania shooting the sequel to it in September, the whole month of September. And the sequel is a big budget film, and it had a great cinematographer. John directed both films and wrote both films, and John played my my ex-boyfriend in the first film and my husband in the second film. And that the sequel is one that I really, really want people to see. Like, I want people to see Canaan Land. You know, I know that they're going to be just incredible films, and there are films that I'm going to want my family to see. Most people know that my uncle is Tak Fujimoto. He was the DP on Silence of the Lambs and Philadelphia and Sixth Sense. And
yeah, he's one of the best DPs around.
Yeah, he's pretty much a legend. So when I first came back to the business, I was in technology for many years. I got my MBA in business marketing from Pepperdine University, and I built marketing and public relations departments for technology companies. Then about 8 years ago, my husband told me I could go back to the business because he knows how much I love acting. But when I first started again, I took everything. And so, you know, when you take everything you're offered, some are not the quality that you'd hope that they would be, especially with a family like mine who's used to, you know, who's used to the highest quality. So I haven't really talked about my career with anyone, you know, until probably around the time where I did Nemesis 5 and where I did Canaan Land, because those are films that I'm really proud of. And I do want the spotlight, and Finding Purpose is a great film. It's one that I've shown my family. And the sequel to Finding Purpose, it's called Finding Purpose, The Road to Redemption. It's going to be released to theaters this year. John's agent is Roger Paul, so he's going through the different distribution companies. I'm not really familiar with that side of it. Roger Paul and John are business experts, so they're handling all of that. But I do know that it's going to be released to theaters, and we'll see what happens after that. So,
well, good work, John Rain, and good work, everybody, on that project. And I'm really going to support that as a fellow Pennsylvanian like John. And looking forward to that coming out. I believe John's located in western Pennsylvania, near where I grew up as well. So
in Hermitage.
Oh, you did Hermitage. Okay. We have a question coming in here from Christy. Let's see, scrolling it up here. Christy is in Charlotte, and she was asking about your different trophies that you've done.
and mentioning your mother and grandmother and the different trophies you've won and some of these modeling and beauty pageant type of things. And she wondered if you have a certain regimen of diet, exercise, anything like that. That how do you keep your figure? She says, how do you keep your figure as you're, you know, continuing to do these things?
Oh, well, thank you for that question. Actually, you know, I've been a dancer my whole life. So when I was younger, I danced a lot, and then I did weightlifting in between. But as you get older, it gets so much harder. So I have all this exercise equipment in my house. I have a squat
wow.
machine, and I have a pull-up machine, and I have I just have everything. I have a treadmill, and I'm religious about doing those type of things. I take Tang Soo-do martial arts, and I do that for the films too, because I love action films. I love science fiction, and so I do the martial arts for that, but also to stay in shape. But the biggest thing that I found is intermittent fasting. If I didn't have that, I would be in such trouble, because I love to eat.
And when you
and
do fast,
you older,
how long of a fast do you do when you fast?
Well, I do it every day, actually, but to me it's easy. All you do is you skip breakfast and lunch, and then you have what you want for dinner. And you could, I try to stop, you know, it's like I'll start dinner maybe at 5 o'clock, and I try not to eat past 7, just because I don't think it's good for you.
Yeah, because you're not, it's hard to burn that off and work that off, isn't it? Because you just go to bed and you're, that's one of my weaknesses, Donna Lee, because, you know, my son and I like to watch TV late at night. And it's so, you know, that, there's something comforting about the snack when we're watching Colbert or something like that. And it's a killer, because that just, you don't burn that off, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's,
and that's
so,
why Brother
you
Billy
know,
has
I'm,
a pot,
I'm,
that's why Brother Billy has a pot belly.
No, you did that for the film. No. You know, it's really comforting to watch TV and eat, and I tend to binge watch shows. So I just had to, I have one spot in my house where I sit down and I eat, and I tell myself I can't eat if I'm anywhere else, because I used to like just, I have this chair that I sit in at night when I'm binge watching everything, and I used to just sit there and eat. So I had to, like, get rid of that chair, and that's something that was really hard to do. But I am always on a diet, and that's why I'm really a pain to have around if you want to go out to eat, you know, because, I mean, I do. And I can't control myself when I go out to eat, because I love bread, I love carbs, which I can't have. And so if I break it, you know, I end up eating all night. Like I'll come, like if I have a huge dinner at some, you know, expensive restaurant, I'll come home and I'll search through the cabinets and I'll eat like a box of candy or something, you know, I mean, it's just really terrible. So
food can be kind of addictive, I guess. It's like, you know, it's like an alcoholic. Some people can have a drink in moderation, but others, if they have that first drink, the next thing you know, they want to get drunk.
Well, yeah, and see, I think probably I have that type of personality, so it's lucky that I don't drink or do drugs, because I probably would be in, you know, I got addicted to contests. And there are some good things, like I'm addicted to acting lessons now. You know, there are some good things
to
be addicted to.
I'm so proud of you doing the Shakespeare, because, you know, artists that continue to grow. You know, Marilyn Monroe, a lot of people look at her as just a sex symbol. But at the end of her life, she was really doing that too, really getting in the classics and Shakespeare. She had a relationship with Marlon Brando, and Marlon Brando kept telling her, "You're not just a sex pot. You are really smart, and you have brilliance and talent within you." And he just really, kept pressing her, you know, to go with him and do some method acting and go back to New York and study. And she was really diving into it, you know. So I think that, like, even though you went for those glam parts in your career, I just am really proud of you that you're continuing to dig into the acting lessons and everything. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. Well, you talked to me. I mean, we spent a lot of time together a couple of years ago when we were filming, you know.
Yeah.
And then you came to my house to do the show, and then
mm-hmm.
we did another scene out by the beach. So we spent
right.
a lot of time together. And you did tell me about Marilyn Monroe, and I'm really lucky that John has taken me under his wing too, and he wants me to be a normal person. And then Kia Leong is also like part of my family. He's my mentor. And he told me too that I need to step up my game, that I need to not get lost in. And there are really great low budget films. I mean, like the first Finding Purpose didn't have a huge budget, but it was a labor of love. It had so much talent in there. And people in Pennsylvania love John. So they'll just, I mean, he had so many people working for him. It's not really like a low-budget film, but, you know, if you have a good script and if you love your work, low-budget films can be really great, you know, but...
Yeah.
I'm trying to do films now with people who want to do good work, who really care about the quality of their work. And like you, you know, I mean, you took your time doing this film and getting more and more stars and fixing the script and getting your film exactly the way that you wanted it. And to me, that is so important, to take your time in doing films and getting them perfect before people see them.
I really appreciate that. That's very encouraging, because the impatient little boy in me once came and ran out, you know, a year ago. But, you know, Richard Krause, my dear compatriot, in editing right now, so we're just polishing this like a diamond. And it's just every time we work, it just gets better and better. And, you know, like I say, there's a part of me that would have rushed it out. But Rebecca's husband.
No,
go ahead, Donnelly.
Well, I saw you changing it, too, because remember, we did my scene in the very beginning. And then you thought about it, and then you wanted to have more scenes where your character maybe was... not trying to, I'm thinking of not trying to screw over people.
But
I don't know if that's something I should say on the air. But, you know, your character started out to be a really shifty person, you know, who can't be trusted. And it took a long while for your character to learn his lesson. And so I think you added more scenes of you having to learn your lesson. And I think I haven't seen the whole film yet, you know, but I saw you adding all of these parts, and then Rebecca Holden, she's so gorgeous and she's so talented. I mean, she came on a little later because so many people wanted to play that part. I mean, you couldn't decide who to have, and she turned out to be the perfect person. And
yes,
I think
she's perfect for it. We had a couple other big stars that were wanted the part and even announced they had the part, and it didn't work out, but Rebecca was just perfect.
And so, I mean, it wouldn't be the film that it is if you had just rushed it out. I think all of the things that I'm talking about happened in a year, you know, so.
Yes. It's
so,
just keeps getting better and better. I can't wait for the premiere, and We can watch each other since if we both start binge eating at the food table at the cast party or the premiere, we can just stop each other and hold each other accountable, Natalie.
Well, I have to tell you, I took my grandson to see Frozen a couple of weeks ago, and they have like Cheetos popcorn now. Oh my God.
Oh, yummy.
So great. Oh, I just, you know, I was.
I love popcorn.
Well, we had this whole huge thing of popcorn. We finished it. And so I went back and I got the Cheetos popcorn, which is even better.
Oh, my God. I love sitting in a movie theater with a big bucket of popcorn. And it's so bad, but the movie theaters, if you get the large tub, it's free refills. Like, I really need to refill that free tub. But what I do is I'll fill the tub as I'm leaving, and then I take it home for my son, who loves popcorn. So he loves if I go to a screening or a movie by myself because, you know, he knows I'm coming back with a big tub from the free refill.
But, you know, I'm always on a diet, so I do feel like there are times where you just have to let yourself have what you want.
Yeah.
You know, even if it isn't
Amen.
Good for you at all. You
Freak
know, otherwise, then what fun is it?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I can't wait for Canaanland to come out, and we're so honored to have you on the show. God bless you, Donna Lee. You're a great actress, a great person, very nice. Everybody in my family loves you because I know you've got my family
nice.
And everything, and they all just adore you and how nice you are. Everyone that meets you says you're the nicest person.
Oh, thank you. Well, I try to be. And Elizabeth was so wonderful to let us use her house and to use her beautiful little dog.
Yeah, that's my sister, Elizabeth
dog
Rossi's dog, Snowball. He's one of the real stars of the show. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, and I got to tell you all that are listening in a funny, funny part that every time we show this little clip in the trailer, people go crazy laughing. But Donna Lee, who plays Connie, has a house in Beverly Hills, and she kicks my character, Billy, out. And I'm going to my therapist. And talking about now that I'm on the streets and my girlfriend kicked me out. And here's an interesting secret. The guy playing my therapist, he might not want me to say this. I don't know if it's a boundaries issue. But the guy playing my therapist in the movie is my therapist in real life, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah, so I showed up for my therapy session with a camera and talked him into doing that part because he's such a quintessential therapist. So anyways, the therapist asked Billy, you're really going to miss her, aren't you? And Billy says, well, I can always get another woman, but I'm really going to miss that dog.
Yeah.
And
know,
then it cuts to Snowball. Yeah, it cuts to Snowball panting. Like, and every time people go nuts, I get all these messages
so
and emails
funny.
From people just quoting that line, I'm really going to miss the dog. People just love that line, you know.
I know, and I love it too, and I'm the butt of the joke. So.
Well,
no,
you did
great
with Snowball. I mean, you'd think that was your dog forever, the way Snowball licks your face.
Oh, I'd love to have a dog like that, and I'm not a dog person.
She's
beautiful. Wait till you see her in the film. And
yes.
I can't wait
darn.
To see the film.
Well, shoot, they're telling me we only got a minute left, so... Thank you, and Donna Lee, what's the best way for people, since we're in our closing seconds, to keep up with you and everything you're doing? Where would you tell them to go online?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook under Donna Lee Heising. My website is donnaleeheising.me. You know, actually, Instagram is probably where I post on the most now, but, you know, and I always answer messages, and you know, unless you're bullying me to have sex with you or something, you know.
Okay, creeper guys, don't ask her for sex, you pervert.
That does happen. I didn't finish answering your question,
know.
But it still does happen, and it drives
Instagram.
Me crazy.
Instagram, Donna Lee Heising, Heising. God bless you, Donna Lee.
Well, thank you, Richard, and I'll be at the premiere for sure.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for listening, everybody.